A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Please be seated. Well, certainly summer has officially begun at the Wehner House. I don't know about yours or how different the seasons are, but when the end of school comes, things change quickly. Travis and Amber and I spent last week at Tyler State Park, a place I hadn't been since I was close to their age, I suppose. But I have a good friend there in Tyler that I wanted to see, and I wanted to take advantage of the fact that they actually got out of school a week before most of the rest of the world, and I thought that might be a better time, the best time, because it wasn't too hot, to go and do that. And it worked great. However, the downside of being out in the woods for a week is that Sunday gets here much too quickly. And so I keep relearning that same truth, that time waits for no one. Whether I'm ready or not, Sunday comes every week. And of course, we rejoice in that. And this Sunday is extra special. This Sunday is extra special because it's the day of Pentecost, the day that we celebrate the fulfillment of the final promise Jesus made to his disciples. That is, that he would send the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to infuse and empower them and their work of the church. Therefore, we celebrate today as the real beginning of the Christian church, the day that the disciples graduated from being disciples, which were followers of Jesus, and became apostles, became the messengers that were sent out into the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Of course, when Jesus told them that he would be leaving them, but not to worry because he would send the Advocate, or as it says in John, he would send the Spirit of truth to lead them into all truth, they must have wondered what he was talking about. How could they actually do anything without him, the Messiah, to lead them? And who is this Advocate anyway? And maybe that's what they were talking about as they huddled again together in that upper room. If we looked back at the first chapter of Acts, we'd read that right following the ascension of Christ, the disciples and some of the women followers, such as Mary, mother of Jesus, were devoting themselves to prayer and waiting for something. They weren't sure what to happen. And now as the second chapter of Acts opens, it's been 10 days since they witnessed Jesus' ascension into heaven. 10 days since they were told to wait in Jerusalem. And here they are, still waiting. And I'm sure that by now, their wait includes more than a little bit of anxiety. After all, as they sat together in this room, they didn't have much to show for their decision to follow Jesus. 10 days without a visible sign from their leader, 50 days since his crucifixion, is a long time to be in limbo, to not know exactly what to do next. But then suddenly without warning, it happened. We read that suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Tongues of fire rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the commotion was so great that people all through Jerusalem stopped what they were doing and came out of their houses and shops to see what in the world was going on. Because the Holy Spirit didn't just kind of come in, ease in like a gentle breeze that would be easy for some to miss. No, it came like a violent wind, came so strongly that it filled the whole building and so loudly that it was heard throughout the city. A visible wind with tongues of fire, fiery tongues that inflamed those whom it touched with passion for their cause. Fiery tongues that caused their hearts to burn with desire to serve their God. And most astonishing of all, this motley band of Galileans are suddenly able to speak in different languages so that people from different nations who hear them speak hear the word of God in their native tongue. Imagine how unlikely that these disciples could have converted or convinced even one person of importance to accept Jesus Christ if they were only using their own power, using their own energy. But the Holy Spirit provided them with such power and purpose that people listened to them. And not just their own people, but we read people from every nation under heaven. And later in verse 41, we are told that 3,000 were baptized and added to their number that day. And thus the church began. When I read that every year, I always have the same wish that the Holy Spirit would be as obvious now with fire and wind that it was then. Maybe in our modern church, we're a little reluctant to think in those terms and to really talk about and appreciate the presence and the power the Holy Spirit has. Maybe it's difficult for us sophisticated Episcopalians to imagine that God can still cause such a commotion. Or better, that God can empower us to cause such a commotion. But I believe that it can and will happen if we continue to be faithful to our calling. In my study this week, I did something different, probably the effect of 4 days in the woods, but I listened to a variety of commencement addresses made by various well-known people over the last several years. My idea was, I was thinking of this disciples graduating into being apostles and wanting to look at the sage advice and wisdom of the modern day and maybe see how those things might fit together. And so I Googled greatest commencement addresses, I think is what I Googled. And so I could look at the wisdom and advice being given modern graduates. And the best website I found had more than 350 speeches from everyone that you can imagine. Both Mr. and Mrs. Obama, Oprah Winfrey, Stephen Jobs, Denzel Washington, Eric Idle, Dolly Parton, even Kermit the Frog.
who spoke to the graduates, I believe it was Southampton College, on behalf of not only frogs, but all other species who are lower than humans on the food chain, and thanked them for dedicating their lives to saving our world and our home. Anyway, I listened to a lot of fascinating talks with a wide range of advice for their audiences of young people who were beginning a new phase in their lives after school. But the speech that stood out as really applicable to our subject of the Holy Spirit this morning was one by author Anne Lamott. You might remember that we talked about her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, last fall. Lamott has a what I would call a non-traditional view of the world and of God, and writes in a way that invariably gives me a fresh perspective on things. In her commencement speech to the graduates of California Berkeley several years ago was as non-traditional as her books. She began by admitting that she was in fact a college dropout who took menial jobs at minimum wage in order to follow her dream to be a writer. And she said, "I bet I'm beginning to make your parents really nervous. Here I am bragging about being a dropout and making a pitch for you to follow your creative dreams, when what they want for you is for you to do well in your field, make them look good, and maybe also make a tiny fortune." "But that's not your problem," Lamott says. "Your problem is, how are you going to spend this one odd, precious life that you've been issued? Whether you're going to spend it trying to look good and creating the illusion that you have power over people and circumstances, or whether you're going to taste it, enjoy it, and find out the truth about who you are." She goes on from there to exhort her listeners not to get so caught up in their careers and in striving to accumulate money and things that life slips by before they ever have the opportunity to savor it. The thing is, she says, that you don't know if you're going to live long enough to eventually slow down, relax, and have fun, and discover the truth of your spiritual identity. You may not be destined to live a long life. You may not have 60 more years to discover and claim your own deepest truth. Like Breaker Morant said, you have to live every day as if it is your last, because one of these days, you're bound to be right. Therefore, Lamott says, be about nourishing and following the Spirit within you. How to do that? Well, her answer is, every spiritual tradition says the same three things. Live in the now as often as you can. A breath here, a moment there. You reap exactly what you sow. And third, take care of the poor. Unusual suggestions for a happy and fulfilling life, aren't they? That our fulfillment in life comes not from what we accumulate, but by how much we share of what we have. That our discovery of the Holy Spirit within us comes through our interaction and concern for others, not from self-introspection or even from sitting in church. Lamott talks about the holy thing that is within each of us. I call it the light of Christ, and it's already there. It's already in each of us. It's put there by God, and it causes us to desire to see God and to have a relationship with Him. And so-called happiness or true joy comes from nurturing that light and allowing it to be revealed, to show itself through us, to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit enough to let our lights of Christ shine forth in the world. When the Holy Spirit came to those disciples on the first day of Pentecost and they went out into the world, their light shines so brightly that all of us sitting here can still feel that glow today. And when we go out of here today, after our picnic, of course, it's with the same intent that our lights will shine and that we will also make manifest the glory of God that is in each and every one of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.